good evening there, Robert.
Hello, Chris.
This is the Chris and Rob late night talk show where they call me Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And you got deep pipes tonight. So
thank you.
Up?
Thank you.
What's
thank
up
you.
With that? How'd
thank
that happen?
You. Thank you. Because I've been listening to extensive past recordings of the Chris and Rob late night talk show.
I mean, no wonder you sound like that.
And I've decided that the interviews are there. The topics are there. The content is perfect. The only thing is,
don't
you
forget
have
about the scintillating wit.
You have a little sissy girly voice. Sounds like some kind of crazed hillbilly teenage farm girl. And my voice is, although perfect, it needs to be a little bit better to make up for your little 13-year-old girly hillbilly voice.
We got a lot of things to talk about tonight, so we're going to jump right into it. We're going to be talking a little bit about mutant farm animals and the CEO of Procter & Gamble Local Fortune 500 company. You know, they make that Alestra product that makes everyone go to the bathroom a lot.
They make a lot of soap.
And their CEO stepped aside, and we'll be talking to the woman that hit him in the face with a pie not too long ago. We'll also be talking to a guy who thinks that the Pleiadians are going to be landing soon. The Pleiadians, of course, are those folks who come from the Pleiades. You see them up there in the sky. They're a bunch of stars. And
they put pleats in your slacks.
But first we'll be talking to Chris and Rob, late night talk show political pundit Chris Redfern. He's a Democrat from the southern coast of Lake Erie. We'll be talking to him in just a minute about the following topic. Rob, did you see Ken Starr's 200-some page report? Newspapers are reprinting it all across the country, so Saturday morning kids can get up in the morning and instead of watching McGilla Gorilla, they can read all about President Clinton's liaisons.
No.
Well, yeah. A lot of newspapers are printing all the sorry, sultry details of President Clinton's sex life in the newspapers, so therefore, as far as I'm concerned, it's fair game for talk show hosts.
I've been too busy partying, dude. I don't have time to move into my parties. You're going to ask me? You're going to say, hey, Rob, quit stepping out with those blondes, brunettes, and redheads. Put down the martini glass long enough to read about the president. I'll have to say to you, hey, brother, I can't slow down. I can't stop. I can't even slow down. That's what I'd have to say to you.
So Saturday morning, my grandma comes out on the front porch and she says,
boy.
Christopher, did you see the newspaper this morning about Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky? And I said, yeah, Grandma, what's the big deal? She says, that Bill Clinton is just like your grandfather.
I don't know what that means.
Can't wait to tell my dad she said that. Anyhow,
your grandfather was a sleazeball?
He must have been. That's what I've heard over there.
Really? Yeah. Little family laundry here, courtesy of Chris.
So, anywho, you got the newspaper printing the Ken Starr's report to Congress that they're going to attempt to impeach the president, Bill Clinton, upon.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, Bill Clinton has published, of course, and released his own rebuttal to the report. And not only are they running the rebuttal in a lot of the newspapers and so forth, but they're also running the rebuttal in Penthouse Magazine. And here's Bill Clinton with his rebuttal, according to Penthouse Magazine.
Dear Penthouse Forum, I never thought your letters were actually true until this amazing sexual encounter happened to me. I was sitting in my Oval Office one night working late while my wife Hillary was off in Ireland cheering around the black and tans with Jerry Adams and Tony Blair when there was a knock at the door. When I answered, there stood a buxom young intern with the most adorable blue dress on, with a neckline that plunged almost down to her navel, revealing what we call back home in Arkansas as a nice pair of overfed chickens. I thought there ought to be a rooster in that hen house. I invited her into my office and, just to be polite, asked her if she'd like to smoke a cigar. She said she'd like a cigar, but that she didn't want to smoke it. That's when things get a little hazy, but I do remember that I asked her if she was a Democrat. She said she wasn't old enough to vote, and when she was, she'd definitely vote for me. I laughed and told that sweet thing that this was my last term in office and I wasn't allowed to run again, but that if she liked, she could still make a campaign contribution. Well, after I received her contribution, I said, thank you, young lady, for helping me get elected. Name and address withheld upon request.
Anyhow, that's Bill Clinton's, rebuttal to the Star Report is published by Penthouse Magazine just this month. This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, and we're now proud to be joined by our own political pundit. CNN has one. NBC, CBS, ABC all have one. Larry King has one. Chris and Rob have our own political pundit from the shores of the mighty Lake Erie. Christopher Redfern, you're a Democrat.
Yes, I am.
How you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, thanks. How you guys doing?
Oh, did you read Ken Starr's report?
I did.
And? Your opinion?
Can't wait for the video.
Well, they say that there's a real good chance that when Bill Clinton had to testify a couple weeks ago there. It was videotaped, and
sure.
that videotape itself will be released quite soon.
Sure, and ironically enough, had Bill Clinton cooperated with the independent counsel from day one and gone to the grand jury, there'd be no videotape of the whole process. But because he demanded that he have his attorneys present, and it was at the White House, you recall that, in the map room? They videotaped it there. So that's the only reason a videotape exists.
Well, if I recall from the Nixon administration, isn't most of what goes on in the White House taped in some form or another?
No. Some presidents did that, some presidents didn't. You know, Kennedy did it, Lyndon Johnson did some of it, Nixon did it. No record of Clinton taping anything in the White House.
I guess he was smarter than that, huh?
In some aspects, yeah.
This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. We're talking to our very own political pundit, Christopher Redfern. He's a Democrat from the south side of Lake Erie. If you'd like to call in and talk to our pundit, the phone number is 961-8900.
Hey, big news, Chris.
What's
that? I can interject for you and Chris and Rob, or for you and Rob, rather. Charles Schumer won the New York primary for U.S. Senate to run against your big friend Alphonse D'Amato.
That's great. Who?
He beat Geraldine Ferraro.
Who's this guy?
Charles Schumer. He's a congressman.
He's a guy with the real wavy hair, right?
Yeah, yeah, but he's a pretty liberal guy, and voters in New York State are going to have two obvious choices, unlike here in Ohio for the governor's race, anyway.
Yeah.
What about Al Lewis?
Al Lewis?
They have three choices.
Al Lewis running as a libertarian? No doubt.
Green candidate.
Green, yeah, that would be Grandpa Munster from the hit television series The Munsters.
Oh, no doubt. That's right. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Well, Chris Redfern, I'm sure that you're following all political goings-on in Washington right now.
Yeah.
Bill Clinton, impeachable or not?
No.
Why not?
Impeachable, but certainly resignation material.
He lied.
He lied.
He's a big fat liar.
Where did he lie, Chris?
He lied about sexual relations, something like that, in front of the jury, right? In front of the court, in front of Paula Jones, he lied about
A couple of differences. He lied in a civil deposition, and he apparently lied in the grand jury. Now, I don't think there's any argument that he lied in a civil deposition, but it is a question whether or not he lied in the grand jury. Now, he can't come out and tell you that he lied in the grand jury, and the reason is because he could do some time in a federal penitentiary if he lied in a federal grand jury. Now, if he lied in a civil deposition, that happens every day, believe it or not, even in Cincinnati. I've been in depositions where I've witnessed individuals lie, and there's, generally speaking, never any recourse on those. So as far as lying, I don't think he did lie in the grand jury legally, and I don't think it's an impeachable offense.
Chris, that brings
us... But it's resignation material, and I'm certainly not defending his despicable behavior.
Chris, as a politician and a pundit, I'm sure you quite often make the rubber chicken circuit and have to speak to various groups full of old people.
Yeah.
And housewives and shut-ins and the other various and sundry dregs of society who are the only people that vote.
Right.
In your very learned opinion...
Sure.
Do you think potato salad should have celery, or should celery be left out of potato salad?
You know, I think
salad?
It should be left out. And one more important point about that, and I'm very serious about this, it should be served heated. I've been to far too many chicken dinners where it's served too cold, and it actually hurts your teeth. It's like eating ice cream with your teeth.
Hot mayonnaise? You're talking about serving cooked mayonnaise?
Don't. It should be warmed, not heated.
Now we're talking about the mayonnaise and mustard-based potato salad, not that weirdo German stuff, right?
Regardless, it doesn't matter. It should be warm. Now, if you were sitting next to me at, say, the Rocky Ridge Chicken Barbecue last Saturday, you would have seen me mixing my beans with my potato salad. And the number one reason, warming it up.
Chris, it's been great having our political pundit on the show once again.
Is that it?
That's about it tonight. We got to get on with this guy who thinks the Pleiadians are going to land.
Well, I want to know if you think that the president's going. What's going to happen?
You're always sucking up for those higher ratings.
Well, what's going to happen, dude?
I think he's going to resign.
Really?
After the election.
All right, you want to make a bet?
Yeah. What do you think?
What do you want to bet?
What do you think is going to happen?
He's going to ride it out.
What's that?
He's going to ride it out, and he's going to get out of office in November of whatever, 2001, whatever the hell it is. Yeah.
Okay, I tell you what, I bet you a bottle of fine Lake Erie wine.
There's no such thing. Why don't you just bet me a unicorn?
No, what are
There's
you
no such
bet?
Thing. You're in a fantasy world.
What are you going to bet?
I'll but champagne velvet. What is it? Shanley bet you a bottle. I don't. What the hell do we have in Christian Moore line?
That would be Shaneling Little King. If you're betting Lake Erie wine,
I'll bet you an 8-pack of Little Kings.
Yeah. No. I'll tell you what. I will put my bottle of wine up against your CD of Over the Rhine.
Now what?
I wouldn't do that to my worst enemy, dude.
Come back with this Lake Erie wine. What in the world is Lake Erie wine? Does it really have Lake Erie water in it?
Sure. You know, Ohio produces the sixth largest wine-producing vineyards in the nation. I don't even know why I'm telling you this.
Yeah, because we asked. You're the one that brought up that bottle of Lake Erie wine, dude. That sounds pretty damn gross, if you ask me.
Well, I don't know what's worse, Lake Erie wine or Ohio River wine.
Typically, it's served in buckets up here.
Okay.
It probably tastes like Norwood tap, right?
All right, so the day that Clinton resigns is the day I'll ship you an 8-pack of Little Kings.
That's okay. That's great.
Thanks a lot, Chris.
Hey, guys, we'll talk to you soon.
From the southern shore of Lake Erie, that's Chris Redfern, the political pundit here of the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. Thanks, Chris.
Peace.
Phone lines are open at 749-1444. We got a lot of business to get on with. He's a nut.
Where'd you dig up that hippie?
He's just a nut.
Okay. It's Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, WAIF, what radio was meant to be.
Hey, by the way, have you checked out the Chris and Rob website lately? If you're one of these internet geek type guys, right? Check out the internet at www.cincinnatlas.com. That's CINCINNATLAS. Did I say too many N's there?
No, it sounds good to me.
You'll figure it out.
CINNATLAS.
The Cincinnatlas website contains not only the WAIF webpage, but the Chris and Rob Late Night webpage as well, where you can download audio files from your favorite Chris and Rob shows. Check it out. Hello, Rick. You're on the air.
Yeah, what is this Pleiadian thing, man? What are these little Pleiadian things?
Well, you're just going to have to stay tuned to find out, but the Pleiades are a batch of stars up in the sky. What side of the sky are they in, Jim?
Jim, where are they at in the sky? Jim doesn't know.
He says up. They're up in the sky. You'll see them at night. The Pleiades are like the real little ones that are all real close together. Sometimes you see them like that sometimes?
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, we're going to have to talk to our next guest, Dr. Charles Spiegel, more about it, but according to him, some dudes from the Pleiades are about to land here on Earth in the year 2001. He's going to be hosting the 15th Annual Interplanetary Symposium on Saturday, October 10th, to tell us all about it.
And you say this guy is a doctor?
I don't know where he got his doctorate from. By the year 2001 AD, the last remaining barrier of spaceflight will have been overcome. An interstellar starship carrying 1,000 scientists from the planet Miton in the star cluster Pleiades within the constellation of Taurus will arrive on Earth, landing on a raised landform that was once a part of the Atlantis continent situated in the Caribbean Sea.
I think it's way past Prozac time for this dude.
Yeah, well, we're not talking science fiction here, or maybe we are, but this guy is serious. Dr. Charles Spiegel, we're going to hang up on you, Rick, and we're going to call him right now, and you're welcome to call back when he's on the air. And
Rick, be prepared to be enlightened.
Probably.
Damn lighter. Straight. We'll be right back. This is the Chris and Rob Show.
All my daydreams are disasters. She's the one I think I love. Rivers burn. Then run backwards for her. That's enough. They all come from New York City. And they woke me up at dawn. Back. conviction. And although he's getting old, Mr. Browning has a prediction. So come on back, New York City. Roll your trucks in at dawn. Walk with me to the fountain.
Night Talk Show, the Chris and Rob Show, the Chris and Rob Program, WAIF, what radio was meant to be. This is the Chris and Rob Show, 749-1444. We're about to talk about the landing of a spaceship, maybe in the Caribbean Sea. We don't know for
sure. Where will the spaceship be from?
The Pleiades, the planet Miton, and it goes like this. The coming year, 2000, is both an ending and a beginning of a new millennium. But we knew that already. In the present year of 1998, we are seeing the verification of the closing of a violent chapter in the life of humanity on planet Earth and a new global awareness manifesting in all nations worldwide. These changes are indicative of a new breath that is reawakening the spiritual fibers of humankind to the reality of extraterrestrial What's this? We're going to talk to Jack Apple, not Dr. Charles Spiegel. All right, we'll find out more about that in a minute. I was attempting to introduce our guest here. By the year 2001 AD, the last remaining barrier of space got me all flustered. Hey, where's Dr. Spiegel, dude? Hello.
Jack Apple.
Hello, Jack. How's it going?
Good.
Now, the leader of the Unarius people is Dr. Charles Spiegel, right?
Yes.
Where is he tonight?
He's here at his house.
Okay. You're at his house, too?
He's got laryngitis?
Yes.
Planetary changes are cyclic in nature and take place after the conclusion of a chapter in the evolutionary process of life. What chapter are we in right now, sir?
Well, we're closing that chapter by what we've been seeing with the raising of the consciousness of people towards, excuse me a second. What I'm trying to say is that by becoming aware that there's other beings on other planets that are benevolent.
So we're ending this chapter because we now know that there are creatures on another planet who are benevolent creatures and not vicious, bloodthirsty creatures?
Yes, that's correct.
It says in your pamphlet that the reawakening from the psychic amnesia of our past is revealing important information about a new science of life.
Yes.
Elaborate, please.
Okay. We are also building ourselves or our consciousness with every thought and action. And as a result, we are a product of everything we have been up to this point. And that includes our past lifetime. But we have experiences that are traumatic to us. And as a result, we have basically tried to block them out. That is the amnesia, the psychic amnesia we're talking about.
Jack Apple, I take it you are the left-hand man for Dr. Spiegel?
Oh, I'm one of the spokespersons.
You sound a little nervous tonight.
Yes.
We're just Chris and Rob. We're not on a particularly large station. You know, there's probably, you know, 13 or 14 people listening to us. So you can relax. Everything's going to be cool. It's a mellow situation here. You know. You're the spokesman for Dr. Charles Spiegel, who is what, the president or the CEO or the guru of the Unarius Academy of Science?
Yes, he is the director.
The director. And the Unarius Academy of Science, is it a scientific organization or is it a religious cult?
No, we're definitely scientific, educational foundation.
I have a question. Can I ask it?
Sure.
Okay, don't get nervous. Okay, what's the end of the century got to do with any of this stuff? I mean, why do these guys on the Pleiades, why do they care what the century is, what year it is on Earth?
Well, it really isn't that important. What's really important is our preparedness or our openness. See, they're not going to come until we can accept it. In other words, if they come and cause, say, a lot of panic, I mean, that would be defeating their purpose. So, a lot of these new TV shows and things that are that you see involving UFOs and aliens, they're all preconditioning.
So the X-Files are getting us ready for the landing by the Pleiadianese?
Well, I don't know about X-Files, but maybe something like a
Lost in Space?
Yeah, Babylon 5.
Did you see that one? It had that one chick in it that was real hot, and it was like these big giant roaches and stuff. What was that one called, Chris? And the big giant roaches were like...
Oh, that was Starship Troopers.
Yeah, did you see that one?
Yes, I did.
Do they have big bugs in space like that, like up by the Pleiades?
I don't think so.
Where does Mad Max fit into this?
I'm sorry?
Does Mad Max tie into this in some sort of post-apocalyptic vision?
On somebody's past memory.
Okay. Well, definitely. I mean, if you want to be serious about this for a minute, I'm sure that whole Star Trek Federation and the dilithium crystals and all that does lead into some futuristic prophetic situation. Am I correct?
Yeah.
So, the Unarius Academy of Science is definitely a scientific organization, number one, right?
Yeah.
And number two, you are predicting that there's going to be a landing in the year 2001?
Yeah.
In the Caribbean Sea?
Yes, rather than predicting, they have told us that they are preparing to come then.
Who'd they tell? Spiegel?
Yes.
Isn't there a chance they'll hit the Bermuda Triangle and disappear?
Well, we hope they come and fix that problem they're having over there.
Mm. Well, all right. So what's the deal with Spiegel tonight? He's just got laryngitis or something?
Yes.
Okay. Well, tell him we said hello.
Okay.
Do you want to take some calls on the matter?
Sure.
Okay, we'll open up the phone lines. Great. This is the Chris and Rob Show. We're talking to Jack Apple of the Unarius Academy of Science, and phone lines are open at 961-8900. I know... A few minutes ago, Rick called in, and he had something to say on this matter. So 961-8900 if you want to discuss all things futuristic and interplanetary with the Unarius Academy of Science. And you guys are having a big symposium coming up. I think it's an interplanetary symposium. Does that mean anyone can come from any planet?
Sure.
Where is your symposium, and how much does it cost to get in?
It's going to be out in El Cajon, California, on October 10th, and it's a one-day event, and the cost is
$135. $135?
Does that include dinner?
You better get food for that.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
All right. Jack Apple, we do have a call. Now, promise me one thing here, because I don't want to get in trouble for this in a couple of years. You guys aren't like the Heaven's Gate, right?
Oh, absolutely not.
None of you guys are castrated, and you're not going to take a pill because the comet's coming, nothing like that?
No, we all lead normal lives.
All right, good.
As far as normal, yeah.
All right, we're going to take a call. Jack Apple of the Unarius Academy of Science. Welcome to Rick. Hello, Rick.
How's it going there, Rob?
Just fine, Rick. How's it going with you?
I just want to talk to Mr. Apple. I mean, what is the purpose of these celestial beings that you say? Is it what are they? Are they going to like predict something that's going to happen, or?
I guess Jack, what he's asking is, do they come in peace?
Thank you.
And their purpose is to help us. They're going to show us better ways of using our consciousness. Basically, what we've been doing is thinking like, well, we have one life to live. I mean, not all of us, but I'm saying it's a widespread thing. And they're going to be here and be the physical proof that when you apply certain principles, you advance yourself. In other words, you can improve your life.
And so when they arrive, they are going to basically be teachers.
Teachers?
Yes. Well, mankind is really kind of, it needs to clean itself up, I think, as far as that.
Amen.
But what about, like, say, you're coming in, what, 2000, 2001?
Yes.
Well, according to Bible things and stuff like that, the world is supposed to end, but I really don't think it's going to. But you say these things are going to come down, but I predict, and according to everything on the news like that, the computer and the economy and everything, everything will be in ruins. And I think the reason why I agree with you now is because everything pretty much is going to be messed up. I mean, as far as, you know, I mean, look what's happening now, not only with the president, but with everything else going around, with all the killings and stuff. I think that we're going to have to start over completely. Completely.
Yeah, what about that, Jack? If we continue to screw up, is there a chance the Pleiades may not want to come down and teach us anything?
Well, it certainly makes a good case for their needs in coming. I think that we're going to have to eventually do something about this as far as that goes, really.
I need for them to teach me how to make a good pie crust. Mine are just too greasy.
Oh, yeah, I can never make a pizza right. It always burns in the oven.
Thanks for your call, Rick.
Yep. Bye.
Jack, you still there?
Yes.
Okay. Tell me something, Jack Apple. As a representative of the Unarius Academy of Science, what will the official company position be when the year 2001 comes and goes, and let's just say, go out on a limb here, that no one from the Pleiades actually does come and land?
Well, then we'll have to assume we haven't been ready.
But that they might come, what, like maybe in another 50 years or 100 or even in another millennium or something?
I couldn't say.
Now, you said that the Pleiadians, is that what they are, the Pleiadians?
Yeah.
Or the Pleiadians? Anyway, you said that they talked to this Dr. Charles Spiegel?
Yes.
How do they do that? Do they have a hotline or radio transmission, like a radar, or how do they do it?
Oh, it's through a mental contact.
ESP?
Yes.
Oh, I got you. Do you have ESP powers too, Jack?
I'm learning to develop them, yes.
Mm-hmm.
This is all part of when you rectify your past. These negative experiences, each one of those will clear the path, so to speak. And you will have a clearer consciousness every time you experience one of these past life awarenesses and healing.
Have you had the opportunity yourself to speak or communicate with one of these Pleiadians?
No.
This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. We're talking to Jack Apple of the Unarius Academy of Science because his boss, Dr. Charles Spiegel, is bedridden. If you'd like to call into the program, the phone number is 961-8900. Phone lines are open if you want to chat us up on this topic or any others. We're talking about ESP, interstellar travel, visitors from another planet, the planet Miton. Where is Miton?
Exactly in the Pleiades.
There's a whole bunch of stars in the Pleiades, though, right?
Yes.
Is Miton like Earth? Is it Earth-like, or is it a completely different environment?
No, it's very similar, and that's one of the reasons that they are coming to you, because they physically look very similar to us. And it won't be that much of a shock for us when they're here.
Do they look similar enough, but they, like, have something different so that we can tell the difference, like pointy toes or pointy ears or something?
No, physically they'll look the same, but the difference will be in their intelligence.
Well, this is what I heard about them.
Mm-hmm.
I heard that the men on Miton look exactly like the men do here on Earth, but that the women on Miton look like Earth women, but they have their breasts on their back.
Really?
Yeah.
Why do they have their breasts on their back?
Well, they're not much to look at, but they're a lot of fun to dance with.
That was a joke, Jack.
But that's cool. 961-8900 if you want to call into the program. Hey, Jack, let's delve into your past that you're trying to cleanse yourself from. Were you like in a motorcycle gang and go around beating people up and stuff? What are you trying to cleanse in from your past?
Well, I have a lot of fears of people, public speaking, because I've abused those sort of issues before.
You're an abusive public speaker?
Well, yeah, I lied in public misled people, that kind of thing.
You are a used car salesman.
You didn't have an intern in a cute little blue dress, though, did you? Okay, because that's what the American people are really concerned about, you know. You'd think that the American people would be more concerned about, you know, the folks from the Pleiades coming down to visit. Because it's not every day that, you know, an actual interplanetary spaceship arrives. But no, the American people want to know more about the graft, corruption, and seamy underbelly of the White House, if you know what I'm saying. So you and Bill Clinton have a lot in common then, huh, Jack?
I don't think so, no.
All right.
Jack, how does the lost city of Atlantis tie into all this? Why are the Pleiadians, why do they care about the lost city of Atlantis? Is it possible that the original Atlanteans are the settlers of the planet Maitai?
Well, actually, how the Atlantis continent fits in is there's buildings that are still there under the ocean.
Right.
So as it's being discovered, there will be proof of other civilizations, you know, make a great case that we've lived before, because actually we have lived there on that continent. We are
so humanity, Homo sapiens, the human beings that we know and love today are from Atlantis?
Well, and other places also. Yes, we've been recycled, so to speak. We keep coming back.
Hey, Jack, you want to take another call?
Sure.
Phone lines are open at 961-8900. Hello, Donovan. You're on with Jack Apple of the Unarius Academy of Science.
How you guys doing?
Oh, great. What's on your mind?
My head cold.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is that all?
No, I've obviously got some other questions.
Okay.
Bad sinus weather later.
Yes, terrible. Yeah. Terrible. About the arrival and all that stuff of, you know, our friends from, what is it called?
Pleiades.
Pleiades. Are we supposed to be accepting of this? Like, we have to accept that this is going to happen, or we just have to accept it once it happens?
Jack?
Basically, we have to be open beforehand, because
right
they are, like I say, they are not going to come into a hostile environment.
So if we arm ourselves, they're not going to come, and we're going to miss out on all this great education they could offer.
Yes, that's right. They certainly don't want to be shot at, and they will not come here if they think that will happen.
So if the Pleiadians show up, and the military, they got their radar turned on full blast, and they think that this thing is like that meteor from that movie Deep Impact, and they're going to blow it out of the air, and then the Pleiadians are going to say, I'm going home.
That's true. Well, actually, they're going to clear the way beforehand. You know, they'll have made contact with some of the people in the military section of the White House.
Oh, so they're not just talking to Dr. Spiegel. They're talking to Schwarzkopf and all those guys, too.
Well, what used to be SETI, now it's the Phoenix Project.
Right, Project SETI. That's the search for extraterrestrial intelligence.
Yes, so see, it's not going to be a cold call.
So if SETI knows all about this already, why haven't they said anything publicly?
I'm not sure it's happened yet, but
they're
probably, when the contact is made, they'll probably be trying to figure out how to break it.
What else, Donovan?
Well, it's just, you know how like these days, you know, everybody's talking about the theory of what's going to happen and all that, and a lot of the people that believe in the Bible stuff, they will try to get you, I mean, not the people that, like, try to shove it down your throat or nothing, but they make just about as good of a point. I'm sorry, I'm on a cordless. They make just about as good of a point as you guys do about that stuff. And, you know, I'd like to believe both of them. I mean, I wouldn't like to believe both of them. I'd like to find out what I should believe. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I was asking. I mean, is this something that we...
So you're a searcher. You're a lost soul in search of a way to go, eh, Donovan?
I guess. I mean, I'm pretty confident that if people make changes and stuff, that shit will work out for us. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that.
No, yeah.
But stuff will work out for us. But, you know, it's, I guess I'm lost as far as...
Well, we got to wrap this up here in a few minutes. Jack, could you please tell Donovan and Chris and myself what we as Earthlings can do to make this place a better landing area for the Pleiadians and thus... grow from all the magnificent knowledge that the Pleiadians will impart to us?
Yeah.
How can we prepare the way for the Pleiadians?
Begin by having a positive state of mind.
Positive state of mind.
Not having fear at the thought of the landing of other people.
Okay, no fear. Good state of mind.
Yeah.
Do the Pleiadians care at all about our sex lives? Do they hold us to any kind of moral standards?
The way that the American people are holding the President of the United States right now to some sort of higher moral standard that he obviously can't meet.
Well, not in a judgmental way, but what they how they'll behave is if it's a thing that will create more karma.
Okay.
Then that is what is important. It's how you handle certain situations that you're experiencing.
In case you just tuned in, this is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. We're talking to Jack Apple. He's a representative of the Unarius Academy of Science. And in the year 2001, when these guys from the Pleiades land, you guys are planning some big ceremonies and some big to-dos in the Caribbean Sea. Am I correct?
We're not, no.
You're not?
That's going to be a scout ship that comes
in. That's a scout ship, Chris.
Yeah.
Come on.
Kind of testing the waters.
Well, what's the deal with the banner procession? Your pamphlet says something about a banner procession, which is on a pristine elevated plateau where the future home of the New World Teaching Center of the Unarius Academy of Science will be 33 persons representing each of the 33 planets of the Interplanetary Confederation will join together, and each will display a banner symbolizing one of the planets.
Yeah, this is our event in October, yeah.
Yeah, that's no big deal.
How do you know there's 33 inhabited planets?
They have told us.
Where are they?
For their mental contact.
Are they all pretty close by?
Oh, they're very far away.
Uh-huh. But I mean relatively close by. I mean like closer than, like a million light years away.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that Mark McGuire's from another planet because his home runs are out of this world.
Are any of those planets inhabited by nothing but hot chicks?
I don't think so.
You had to know we'd ask you that sooner or later, though, didn't you?
Sure, I was prepared for that one.
All right, we got to run, Jack.
Thanks a lot, Jack Apple, and give our regards to Dr. Charles Spiegel. Tell him we hope he gets well soon.
Well, thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Hey, Jim, when you called him, did you get the right number?
All I know is that this dude was never a public speaker fooling people. I mean, he was never a politician or a slimy lawyer or anything.
Ladies and gentlemen, we were scheduled to speak to Dr. Charles Spiegel. He's actually the guy. The guy who was the guy who makes mental contact with these aliens, and I guess at the last minute he became unavailable.
He's sick.
This is the Chris and Rob Show. 749-1444 is the phone number.
Well, there it is in the corner of the bar. I tried to run, but I didn't get far. Those weird little men, I'll blow them away. I'd sell my mom for a chance to play.
He's hooked, he's hooked, his brain is cut. He's hooked, he's hooked, his brain is cut.
They start off slow, but it don't play clean. It's tricky and low, it's a mean machine. There's lots of them and one of you. When the walls are gone, they'll get to you.
He's hooked, his brain is cooked. He's hooked, his brain is cooked.
Space invaders. Faster and faster all the time. An hour of this will blow your mind. Gotta get them before they get you. And you'll be broke before you're through.
He's hooked, his brain is cut. He's hooked, his brain is cut.
As the gang looks over your shoulder in awe, they don't believe what they just saw. You slid to the left and slid to the right. You're the Space Invaders king tonight.
He's hooked, his brain is cut. He's hooked, his brain is cut.
Space Invaders. Space Invaders. Space Invaders. Space Invaders.
comes over your hand. Row by row, you're in command. There's one last devil moving real fast. One single shot, got him at last.
It's Chris and Rob, late night talk show where I'm Chris.
WAIF, I'm Rob.
And there's a lot going on here. This is the Chris and Rob late night talk show. The phone number, if you'd like to call in and talk to our next guest, number is 961-8900. We're going to shift gears a little bit, and we're going to talk a little bit about Fortune 500 companies, namely Procter & Gamble, located right here in the Queen City. And we're going to talk a little bit about animal rights. You know, animals are people too, and they have rights just like us. But first, here's Rob.
Hey, check out what's growing at the Crone Conservatory. It's located in Eden Park. Admission's free. Donations are accepted. You need some info on the Crone Conservatory? You can get it, 421-5707.
About a week ago, John Pepper stepped aside as the CEO and big shot boss of Procter & Gamble. He's the guy who single-handedly introduced Olestra to the world, and I'm sure that the world is grateful, and the toilet paper companies are even more grateful. Now that John Pepper is stepping aside, Dirk Jager is taking over.
Dirk.
The reason his name is Dirk Jager is he's actually a Dutch citizen, and on January 1st, he will be taking the reins of Procter & Gamble.
What are we bringing some Dutchman in here to run our American companies for?
I don't know, but we are.
You know, everybody talks about the national debt and how big. You know who the national debt's owed to?
Who's that?
The stinking Dutch.
Really?
The Dutch and the English. They're the ones that the English and Dutch bankers are the ones that all the national debt's owed to. Now we're supposed to bring in one of these flying Dutchmen into here? One of these daggone crowd-eating, tulip-growing Dutchmen we're supposed to bring in here and let them run one of our top country companies?
The new king of soap and the new king of Cincinnati.
Is that even an American?
Well, when we were doing our show research here at the Chris and Rob Show, and we were looking for someone from Procter & Gamble or an employee or a stockbroker or someone who knew a lot about big shot business dealings to comment on the implications of Mr. Pepper stepping aside as the boss, we couldn't think of anyone better to talk to than the young lady who about 6 or 8 months ago stepped up to a podium in Columbus, Ohio, and hit John Pepper in the face with a pie. And said something about you're killing the animals, quit torturing the animals, and that would be Melinda Duval from PETA. PETA is People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. Am I correct?
Yes, you are.
Yes, I am. And you got a big thrill out of stepping up on that podium, sneaking into some black tie event, and slapping Pepper in the face with that pie, didn't you?
I got a big thrill out of embarrassing John Pepper into persuading him to stop animal testing.
What was it again, if you can repeat yourself, that you said after you hit him in the face with the pie and before you were escorted out of the auditorium?
Procter & Gamble poisons animals. Shame on you, John Pepper. Shame on you.
Did you think about saying Sic Semper Tyrannis? Like John Wilkes Booth said after he shot Lincoln?
No, didn't cross my mind.
Now, you know that the boss man of the company, he is in charge and he calls all the shots, but you know, it's not John Pepper himself who's actually testing products on animals. It's a bunch of little Igors in some laboratory somewhere. Shouldn't you be going after all the Igors?
Well, he's the leader of a major company that refuses to stop animal testing. As a leader, he can stop it. Unlike other major companies such as Revlon and Gillette, they've stopped testing.
Well, does PETA have an official position on the fact that he's stepping aside? I mean, is he quitting because of the pressure put on him from PETA?
Well, I'm sure being slapped in the face with a tofu pie for refusing to to end unnecessary and cruel animal testing didn't help his case at all.
And what about this new guy, Dirk Jaeger? He's going to be taking over here in a couple of months. Is he any more sympathetic to the views of PETA or not?
We certainly hope so. We hope that the new CEO of Procter & Gamble will do the right thing by the animals and put a halt to all animal testing not required by law.
Hey, is Holland the country where you can go to, like, smoke dope in the bars and stuff?
Not sure about that.
Or is that the Netherlands?
That's Amsterdam.
Amsterdam?
Yeah, it's up there somewhere.
Okay. Yeah. So I thought this dude might be like a hippie partier dude. But maybe he's not. Maybe he's an uptight kraut.
Well, not everybody
Nazi.
From Amsterdam is cool.
No, not everybody.
If you'd like to call into the program, the phone lines are open at 961-8900. This is the Chris and Rob Show.
So
talking
Melinda,
to Melinda Duvall.
Melinda, did your pie in the face of John Pepper, did it accomplish anything? Are the results tangible? Have more and more people and companies become aware of the plight of animal testing?
Certainly. It broadcasted all over the world and made ordinary citizens aware of Procter & Gamble's animal testing policies, which are unnecessary and cruel.
What are these specific policies? What products are they testing, and how are they testing them?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. If they're testing Elestra on any animals, there's a lot of cats and dogs out there with diarrhea right now.
We don't need any more crap going around this world, that's for sure.
Right on.
Woo!
Have you had any of that Elestra yet, by the way?
No.
They put it in, like, potato chips and stuff, and boy, you'll be on the can for hours.
So what kind of animal testing are they doing, really, if they're not testing Elestra? What are they testing?
Well, they do, like, lethal dose tests.
What's that mean?
Which means giving an animal a certain amount of a chemical or a product until half of the test group dies.
Are we talking about rats? Are we talking about bunnies? Are we talking about elephants?
Bunnies, monkeys, beagles.
Beagles?
It's one of the cruelest tests they can do because it results in vomiting, diarrhea, as we're talking about,
Yeah. Convulsions.
It can take hours, days, weeks to die.
Well, what kind of poison is Procter & Gamble making? I thought they made food and the soap. Where are they dealing with poisons?
They force feed products like Tide and Crest down animal stomachs to see how much of the compound will kill half the test group.
So they'll take a bunch of rabbits or a bunch of monkeys or beagles, and they'll shove Crest in the monkey's mouth until the monkey dies?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, I thought my mom was going to do that to me when I was 5 years old and I wouldn't brush my teeth.
What? Now, what do they say that proves?
Well, it gives them data for legal issues. If someone sues them, if they ingest too much of a product and they get sick, then they have data. But the data is irrelevant as far as applying that to human beings.
So hold on. So if my kid eats a whole tube of Crest and dies, and I go to sue Procter & Gamble, they'll say, no, your kid didn't eat enough Crest to die because our data shows that a monkey had to eat four tubes to die. That's how they're covering themselves?
That's a very likely scenario because animal tests are not accurate and the data from them cannot be extrapolated to human use.
Yeah, just because a certain amount of Crest kills a 8-pound bunny doesn't mean a certain amount of Crest is going to kill a 175-pound person.
Exactly. There are enormous differences in metabolism and other factors among rats, rabbits, dogs, pigs, and monkeys.
Plus, there are a lot more people in this world that deserve to die than bunnies.
I'm not going there.
Well, I will, darn it. There are a lot more people in this world that deserve to die than bunnies that deserve to die.
Like who?
Like who?
Like who are you talking about?
About four-fifths of the people I meet on a daily basis.
Maybe the guy sitting next to me does.
About half the people on this talk show.
That would be you.
That would be you.
In case you just tuned in, this is the Chris and Rob Show, and we're talking to Melinda Duvall from PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. Phone lines are open at 961-8900, and we're talking about the change of powers over at Procter & Gamble. The new CEO will be Dirk Jaeger. Do you have any plans to go after him with a tofu pie? Maybe get him in the kisser sometime?
We're always nice before we're nasty.
So are you going to send him a letter first?
We're in the process of preparing materials for the new CEO.
What's the letter going to say?
Yeah, what are you going to say?
What you going to say?
What are you going to say?
Huh?
Well,
do you like me? Check one, yes or no?
A decade of letter writing hasn't stopped it since, but hopefully he's compassionate enough to stop animal testing, do right by the animals, and stop all the animal testing that's not required by law.
Is he going to be appearing in public anytime soon that we know of?
We shall see.
If he does, will you be coming to Cincinnati? Because if you are, you can come on the show.
Or Columbus, yeah.
But you got to dress up like one of those animals or something like you do sometime.
Certainly. We will bring the animal costume.
Right on. Now, are you guys going to go out in front of P&G like you do every couple of years in the animal costumes anytime soon? And I think you get a, like, you dress up like a chipmunk and you get in a cage or something, right? You stick some toothpaste in your mouth?
Yes, that's been one of our strategies, to put monkeys in cages outside of Procter & Gamble.
Real monkey or people monkeys?
People monkeys. People dressed in monkey costumes with prison outfits to show these animals are confined in cages and treated under miserable conditions and eventually are poisoned to death.
What about bunny costumes? Do you ever wear bunny costumes?
Sometimes, when we want a zany, upbeat type of demonstration.
Do you wear like the big goofy Easter bunny costume, or like a Playboy bunny costume, like a leotard? You know what I mean?
The big cute, goofy one.
Do you ever consider the?
Stop,
the,
Rob. She's our guest.
What?
She's a guest.
I'm
tonight.
Just telling her how to get her picture in a paper. I'm trying to help her out.
Here in Cincinnati, they don't even go for that sort of thing, though. You know how Cincinnati is. We kicked Larry Flynn out.
I know how I am.
Yeah, I guess so. This is the Chris and Rob Show. We're talking to Melinda Duval from PETA.
Hey, what's the deal with chasing Oscar Mayer Wienermobile? Are you involved in that? Are you chasing Oscar Mayer Wienermobile around the country this summer or fall?
It's been a great campaign to show the miserable conditions that pigs live on in factory farms. They're tethered. They're kept on concrete floors and metal bars. Pigs are very intelligent creatures, documented to be more intelligent than dogs, and to put them in those conditions is absolutely horrible.
So are you involved with that? Were you the ones chasing the Wienermobile around the country?
No, we had activists all over the country that volunteered to go demonstrate at the Oscar Wienermobile. We wanted kids to get the full picture. I mean, Oscar Wienermobile goes out and shows kids that that pigs want to become hot dogs, when in fact they don't, and it's not good for kids to eat hot dogs anyway.
Well, Charlie Tuna wants to become Starkist.
So the company says.
What about a Big Red Smokey? And can you tell the difference between that, between a hot dog and a Big Red Smokey?
It's been so long since I've had one of those, I couldn't tell you.
When was the last time, Melinda?
I say you're a smoked sausage.
How old are you now?
33.
So you would have been 23 the last time you had a hot dog?
I think I was about 21.
Wow, the heady undergraduate days of Melinda Duval.
Where'd you go to college?
Old Dominion University in Norfolk, Virginia.
Did you get a good education there?
Yeah, I thought so. That's where I was first introduced to animal rights.
Uh-huh.
Well, since we're talking a little bit about meat and beef and pork and hot dogs and stuff, I want to tell you a little bit about some mutant farm animals I've come across over the years here. There are so many beef cattle that are misshapen that they can't have babies anymore, at least not the regular way. All cattle just about have to have cesarean sections anymore, and they also suffer from lameness. Cows can barely walk.
It's because they're so crazed on hormones and steroids and stuff.
But if you think that's bad for the cows, what about the pigs? They have been injected with so many hormones that faster growth rates mean that their legs are unable to keep up with the rest of their body, so not only do their joints hurt, and how'd you like to wake up every morning with your joints hurting, but they can barely hold up their bodies with their little legs or teetering around.
You've been doing some research, Chris.
Yeah, and not only do pigs got it bad, but chickens got it even worse. You know, they call some chickens the modern broiler, because they're not like chickens of old. They're the modern broiler. They reach their slaughter weight in 6 weeks. So how'd you like to be 6 years old and then, boom, you're gone? The bones of the chickens, the modern broilers, they're so feeble that they break on contact and they suffer from heart disease. So chickens, they have heart attacks when they're like 3 weeks old, and if you like pick them up, their bones break. They just shatter. Like if you put a pane of glass in a freezer. Dairy cows got it bad, too. Those dairy cows, the ones that make milk, they make 10 times as much milk as they would if their calf, if they were going to have a regular everyday calf and a calf would drink some milk. They make 10 times that much milk. Melinda, you're a woman. How'd you like to make that much milk?
Never been there, but I tell you, it wouldn't be pleasant.
It would suck.
It certainly would.
Yeah.
You could sign up. You could be the whole soup kitchen for the neighborhood.
Let's talk for a minute about turkeys. Yeah, turkeys got it pretty bad, too. Selective breeding means that turkeys are so fleshy that they cannot physically mate, kind of like my co-host. Artificial insemination is the only way that a turkey can make another turkey anymore and breed. So if all of a sudden the world crumbled and all these turkeys were let free, they would become extinct because they wouldn't be able to have sex anymore and have babies. Did you know that, Melinda?
I did.
Of course you did,
because
you're from PETA.
I am so impressed that you've done your homework, Chris.
Now, I've scored points with PETA today, I guess, huh?
Yeah.
Phone lines are open at 961-8900 if anyone wants to get in on this.
Creep.
You're a creep.
You're a creep.
You're just mad at me because I impressed the girl from PETA and you didn't.
You and your lame research.
You're sitting over there asking the girl about her leotards, right, and stuff. And I'm talking to her about the real issues of the day. Fat pigs, fat cows, and turkeys that can't have sex.
Yeah. All right? Yeah, whatever. She knew all that, though. You didn't impress her.
Yeah, I impressed her, didn't I?
Oh, you impressed me. What do you need me for? You know all the facts.
Because you're here to say, ain't it so, Joe?
Ain't it so, Joe?
Is there anything else you want to follow up on, or is this John Pepper talk enough? We mostly want to know when you come to get this Dirk Jaeger guy. We mostly want to know when you're going to come get him ahead of time so that we can get our cameras out there and take pictures and maybe get you and Dirk on the show together.
But you're a radio show. How would you have your cameras?
We have an internet webpage.
Yeah, we got a website. It's at cincinatlas.com. That's CincinnatLas.com. And if you check it out right now, right there posted on the internet, not only is there a picture of a mutant farm animal, but there's also an interview with, what's that guy's name? Larry Farmer from Prairie Dog Town, Kansas. Now, Prairie Dog Town, Kansas is a place where not only do they have the world's largest prairie dog and a big collection of rattlesnakes and some buffalo, but they got a five-legged steer and a six-legged cow.
Is there a big plastic chicken on that picture, on that site, too?
Yeah, the big plastic chicken is on the website. That's all located at cincinatlas.com. That's CincinnatLas.com. Got it, Melinda?
I've got it. Will you be...
Hey, what's the deal, Melinda? What's the deal with the with swordfish nowadays?
Well,
some restaurants have quit serving swordfish because it's hard to get a big giant one because they've been overfished.
From what I understand, they are becoming extinct. 175-pound swordfish is now.
They're like 20 pounds now because they're all very young.
Yeah.
And any news on the mad cow disease front? Have the American farmers stopped feeding brains to the cows?
I would speculate that no, they have not stopped feeding whatever they can, including brains.
Ugh.
Cows.
They feed brains to cows?
That's how mad cow disease got started, was you're taking these animals that are supposed to eat grass and wheat and stuff, and they're feeding them leftover cow parts.
Ugh.
Brains, sawdust,
brains.
Manure,
you're
whatever.
Kidding.
That's gross. But do you remember a few years back, I forget where it was, but a bunch of scientists at some university somewhere did a study where they took flatworms, right?
Brains.
And they would train the flatworms to do tricks. I'm not making this up. And then they would dissect the flatworms and feed them to other flatworms. And then they, flatworms that they had not trained to do anything, and they'd find that the information that the one flatworm had learned would be transferred to another flatworm simply by eating its brain.
That's not right. You're making that
I'm
up.
I'm not making that up.
You're
did you ever hear about that,
up.
Melinda?
Just another example of egregious and wasteful experiments on animals.
That's right, because flatworms have feelings too, right?
What? Well, Melinda, you want to hear a sad story about my dog?